Blog Talk Radio.
And Jehovah reveals another layer of his master plan to mankind. In doing so, there's prophecy that is going to be fulfilled. And you'll find, as we've gone through the books of the Bible,
well, good evening. Good afternoon. It might even be night time some places where people are listening. This is the Now Sabbath Gathering Online Ministry with Apostle W.J. Armstrong. We started out last week talking about authority because I was led there by the Holy Spirit because of what's going on in the world today, especially in the USA. And as I was preparing for this week, it was interesting. I was taken to Micah chapter 6. And today I really would love to read the whole thing. Because, as you will see, the first is the Lord's case against Israel. And when I read that, what kept coming to me was America and the American experience. And the hypocrisy that I experienced growing up in America, the hypocrisy. And those of you who may be listening, I heard this before, if you don't like it, leave. My thing is that you who are saying that, you don't like it, you need to leave too. If you don't like what I'm saying, you need to go back to Europe, where you came from. And, yeah, we all are people of immigrants. But yet, I remember a little book called Animal Farm. And I remember one of the quotes, some of us are more equal. It was talking about how a group of animals had great power and authority, and how they had incorporated that power and authority in the decision-making process. Because if some are more equal than others, what are they saying? And I never forgot that little book, and I never forgot that quote. And that's what I have experienced. And as I'm much older, and as I look back over what's happening now, especially what's happening in Florida, especially that immigrant that's down there who's the governor, who is trying to erase a people from history. And let's break that word down. History. H-I-S. His story. Think about it. What he is doing down there in that state is systematically erasing a race of people from his story. His story now. The truth. So I guess what he's saying is that these are alternative facts that he is dealing with, that he is using the information to justify his story. And why, when we peel that onion back and you begin to ask the question, remember we're talking about authority, what is driving him to choose a lie over the truth? Now, if we take the definition of Satan, he comes to steal. This man is stealing the history of a people, kill, and destroy. He's destroying the accomplishment of a people. As far as his story is concerned, the only people that were there that made any contribution not only that, deserve to be in the state of Florida, are the so-called people who self-identify themselves as being white. And with the name Ron DeSanto, is he white Anglo-Saxon? We need to observe and do our research. And why is he doing that? He's usurping authority. He's usurping the power of the people. He knows that those people may not vote for him, and he wants to be the president. Now, again, I want you to read Micah, M-I-C-A-H, chapter 6 for yourself. And the first part is, the subheading is, the Lord's case against Israel. And then the part, latter part is Israel guilt and punishment. Now, when you usurp power and usurp authority, what happens? There are consequences. And I'm just using that because it's all in the news. He's running all over the earth talking about it. So he's a good example as to what God is talking about, what the Lord is talking about in the chapter of Micah, chapter 6. I wrestled against this message. My prayers years ago was, I want to be a prophet. And after I found out what happened to prophets, that was when I was much younger, much, much younger, I changed my mind. Because prophets, most of the time, are not liked. Because what they say is not welcome in most instances. So now, listen. This is Micah chapter 6. Listen to what the Lord says. Now, it has nothing to do with the prophet. The prophet is telling you what the Lord told him to say to the people back then. He said, stand up, plead my case before the mountains. Let the hills hear what you have to say. Hear you, mountains, the Lord, accusation. Listen, you, everlasting foundation of the earth. For the Lord has a case against his people. He is lodging a charge against Israel. Now, we look at and we say that the Bible is a holy book. We say that the Bible is the way that the Creator speaks to us today, just as he spoke to them back then. And here's what they say. says, my people, what have I done to you? How have I burdened you? Answer me. He says, I brought you up out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. This God is, he's telling them what he did, where they were. And he's reminding them of what benefits that they received from his intervention into their lives. If we take and fast forward this several thousand years later, we can put other names in here, and it comes out very similar. And he said, I sent Moses to lead you, also Aaron and Miriam. My people remember what Balak, king of Moab, plotted, and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered. Remember your journey from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. He's reminding them, think about where you've been. Think about your situation, circumstances that you were in. And who brought you out of that? You cried out to the Lord. The Lord responded and delivered you from slavery. And then he goes on. Well, what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings? This is the people asking themselves the question. What shall I come before the Lord? They know that they have committed acts of disobedience. They're clear. So they're searching now, trying to find a way to respond to the charge the Creator has lodged against them. And then they say, shall I come before him with burnt offerings? That's one thing. With calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruits of my body for the sin of my soul? Think about it. They were looking for material things, material way of pleasing God or responding to the charges God had waged against them. Now let's do a little imagery here. When you go to court, you have a judge there. You have lawyers. Are you doing this yourself? But here he has the prophet speaking to the people on his behalf and explaining to them God's displeasure with them. And here, well, there you are responding, and like so many of us, well, Lord, I pay my tithes. Lord, I go to Sunday school. Lord, I go to Bible study. Lord, I go to church. Now this is what the prophet says. These are the words that was given to him by God. Verse 8, he says, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good. Now, in the holy book, he has shown us what is good. And now, he's shown us what is good, what he wants us to be about. Now listen to the next. And what does the Lord require of you He showed us what was good, and then we should put that in action. And he says that, in other words, the Lord requires you to, this is verse 8, Michael chapter 6, verse 8, to act justly. And when you look around the earth today, not just America, but look around the earth, just are we people being just with each other? To act justly and to love mercy? Are people merciful? Look at the laws that are being enacted. And line them up with the Word of God. See, people who profess to be Christian don't think that they should be part of the political system. You're part of the political system, whether you want to be there or not. Why? Because 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, put you there. It says you must pray for all people, including those who are in authority. Now, you say, now, why should, well, you're not praying for them to do things that are contrary to the Word of God. You're praying for them that God's will may be done through the laws that they created. Now, and why? This is in Timothy. Read it for yourself. I challenge you, don't just take my word, because that's what I did in some interpretation that that was given was not quite according to the word. So now I want you to pick up your holy book, your Bible, what we call the Bible. I want you to read it for yourself. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. And I'm paraphrasing in a way. He tells you why you should pray for everybody so that you could live a quiet, peaceful, reverent life. So now, if you're not acting justly and you're not showing mercy and the laws that are being created and enacted and holding people accountable for something that is not in line with the Word of God. Think about it. You have the power. You have been given authority to communicate with the Creator. Do prayer. And the Messiah taught us, one, our Father who art in heaven. Tells us the distinction now. Make it clear, we're not talking about the earthly Father. We're talking about the heavenly Father. Hallowed be thy name. That separates from humans. And it goes on and on. And I want you to read it for yourself, you know, and take time to meditate and reflect on it. That's to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. As I watch these persons who are in authority in the church, the body of Christ, and the politician, and the school systems, and most of the major systems, world systems, it's not just. Okay. Now, let's go on And then the subheading again, Israel, guilt, and punishment. But see, what I'm saying is that you have authority. And if you violate that authority, see, you who take oaths, you took an oath on the Holy Book. You said you were going to do one thing. And somehow, some way, let's go back to the garden. It's an example of Adam and Eve. God had given them, told them what to do and what not to do. And then who comes along? The enemy, Lucifer. He comes along and they choose what he says about that tree as opposed to what God had told them about the tree. And he just said one little word, so that you surely, surely. And whenever you look at it that way, just you need to sit with it and read it for yourself. And they chose to listen to the Satan, who was the one who was created by God and who himself was kicked out of heaven because he started a rebellion or insurrection there and he had other angels following him. They were following him. And I look and see what's happening in the earth realm now. People rather follow a man than to follow the one who created the man. Now, verse 9. It says, listen, the Lord is calling to the city, and to fear your name is wisdom. Heed the rod and the one who appointed it. Am I still to forget you, forget your ill-gotten treasures? Now, I can give you my interpretation, but what's important is that you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And as it speaks to you, don't do like I used to do. No, that can't be. No. That's not what I heard. That's not what I was told. Just sit with it. Your ill-gotten treasure, your wicked house, and the short epic, which is accused. Shall I acquit someone with dishonest scales, with a bag of false weights? Now that takes us back up to verse 8. Be just. He's talking about the merchants. Talking about the merchants. They're shortchanging the people because they got false scales. In other words, what's being weighed is not the true weight of the product. But the price ain't changed. You paying more and getting less. That's what this is saying. And he's asking, shall he equip people who use dishonest scales? And they came prepared. It wasn't an accident, a coincidence. He said they came with a bag of false weights. Then verse 12. Your rich people are violent. Your inheritance are liars. And their tongues speak deceitfully. Now what is he doing? He's explaining to people who not only was unjust, but people who were not showing mercy. They were not showing mercy. He's making that clear. And when you think about it and allow yourself to sit and listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say to you about it. And when you do that, you will be able to look at things through spiritual lens and not through your natural eyes. You'll be able to see some of the same things that I see, and you will begin to raise some of the same questions that I raise. And then it goes on. It says, therefore, I have begun to destroy you, to run you because of your sins. It's not are you in, it's are you I in. And he says, because why is he doing it? Because of your sins. Now, let's just take that word and unpack sin, S-I-N. How do you commit a sin? You break a law. You disobey. You be disobedient. That's what sin is. It's very simple. But we have a tendency to want to make things so complicated and complex. And what comes out of one's mouth is what is in one's heart. And why? Well, we get there still in 12, and their tongue speaks deceitfully. The scripture is clear. The power of life and death is in the tongue. And then it goes on, therefore I have begun to destroy you, to run you because of your sins. You will eat, but not be satisfied. Your stomach will still be empty. These are the things that you will, that's going to happen to you, to us. Don't think that this is only for somebody else. No. This is about me too. And it goes on. You will store up, but save nothing. Why? Because what you save, I will give to the sword. You will plant, but not harvest. You will press olives, but not use the oil. You will crush grapes, but not drink the wine. Now, that having grown up on a farm, I can relate to that. We have planted stuff and we saved it and we put it in what we call the potato hill. And sometimes we don't have it, well, the weather changed and the weather is colder than normal. And cold kill. We didn't need to put enough straw, enough dirt on it to keep the potatoes warm during the wintertime. When you have freezes, it's different in the way the weather is going on now. I can relate to this. And yeah, plant, but you are not harvest. Yeah, we have plant. And need it rain too much? And it drown out what we had planted? Or we didn't get enough rain? The sun, we say the sun parched it. I can see that. And then it goes on. You have observed the stature of, let me see what my footnote is. You have observed the stature of Orit and all the practice of Ahab's house. You have followed their tradition. Therefore, I give you over to Run and your people to division. You will bear the scorn of the nation. And the Santuzer, it says, the Hebrew scorn, do my people. I just want you to think about what's happening around us now. Okay, now you don't thought about what's happening. Now you need to think about why it's happening the way it's happening. Not listen to the weatherman. Not listen to the politician. Not listen to the professors. Not even listen to some preachers, bishops, apostles, and prophets. Not listen to everybody who's part of the fivefold ministry. Because some of what they're saying doesn't line up with the word. I am coming now to a point where we will have a discussion. But as usual, no one called in, but I know someone's listening by the computer. I'm clear about that. And I trust and I pray that something was said, and that when you read this book of Micah, chapter 6, and you sit with it, allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you the Lord's truth, what it's saying to you, and what is it that you need to be about in order to glorify the presence of the Lord. Let us pray. Because as you go out, we are going out into the world to take the light to the world. And sometimes the word that we have to give the word world, the world doesn't want to hear. But you have been charged with giving that word to the people. And give it to them in love. Don't try to frighten them so that they too, that their eyes may be open. Let us, Almighty Creator, we come to the end this day. We go forth and we send your people forth with revelation, knowledge, and understanding as they go and interact with the world, that they may bring a peace that passes all understanding. Amen.